Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the prophetic news, and it's getting more prophetic as the day goes by, and it's even getting more pathetic as the days go by. Did we ever think we were going to see the world in the shape it's in right now? No, we never thought we were going to see it. We heard about it, but did we think we were going to live it? No, I don't think so. Because we're still kind of in the twilight zone over here. And we just don't know what's ahead. And when you think about it, you think, well, there's this ship that's stuck in the Suez Canal. And they depend on this canal for all kinds of products that we need throughout the world. So I expect, who knows what's going to happen with this. Is there going to be some more shortages coming, which there's still things I can't buy when I go to the supermarket. Still things, there's still empty shelves in some places and still some products that I used to buy that I can't buy anymore. But anyway, don't forget our website, Prophetic News, and our YouTube channel, which we have Greedy Preachers TV, which I would love to be a film producer. Maybe I will do that in the years to come. I would love to make some films to try to tell the story as I see it and as so many real Christians see Christianity and what's happening to the church today. And also, we have our books on Amazon, Paula White, oh my goodness. Anyway, Paula White, Heretic in the White House, the miracle-selling huckster who became the spiritual advisor to the world's most powerful man. Maybe that has something to do with why Donald Trump isn't president anymore. It has a little bit to do with it, because I can't believe you would take any kind of advice from someone like that. And then we have our book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? Can you bribe God with money? Does God need $10 to answer your prayers? It still goes on. It's hard to believe that it still goes on that people pay God for blessings, and God never gets the money. It's the greedy preachers. It's the greedy preachers. So don't forget to check those things out. And, of course, Jackie Elmore's Christian Sentinel, which is a great news magazine. And all the news that's fit to print. Amen. Hi, Jackie.
Greetings there, Susan.
Yes, here we are again.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, but it's always good to have you, because Jackie's like got so much information in her head. You can't believe it. After all the years of heretic hunting and spying out the land for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we always love to have her, because she's a wealth of information, and she can talk about so many different topics. After how many years have you been at this now, Jackie?
Ooh, golly, well, I think things really got started in 1984. So, yeah. So how many years ago? That's a long time ago.
40, almost 40 years.
Almost.
38
yeah.
years. Wow.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and again, I got saved in 81. So that was just 3 years. I didn't know what I was getting into in the beginning.
Yeah.
But you know my testimony, how I kind of was thrown in with Walter Martin right away. And actually, I learned what the cults taught before I was quite sure what the Bible taught.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way not to fall into the whole charismania thing that was going on back then, which I fell into. So it was probably a good thing that you were aware of what was going on.
Yeah, but you know what? I did kind of spend the first 6 months that I was saved just not going out at all and just sitting with my Bible on all my free time.
Yeah, well, you can't beat that.
But, you know, it took a while to learn what they call systematic theology as far as, you know, studying every doctrine of the church and where the scripture teaches those things. And those were things that took a little while to learn.
Yeah.
And that's important,
well, yeah,
too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But that's the thing, that when you first get saved, you're so excited about Jesus, you can't get enough. And you're so excited about the Word of God and going to church and fellowshipping with the Christians. It's nothing like the world that we left behind. And so it's all so wonderful in the beginning. And we have to get back to that, to getting back to our first love, how it was when we first met.
Exactly. You know, that's what I love about the letter to the Church of Ephesus, that, you know, you expose the apostles and the false apostles and you found them to be liars. But I have this one thing against you. You've left your first love, and go back and do the deeds you did at first. So sometimes
yeah.
It's good to remember what those deeds you did at first were.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would tell anybody that asked me about how God saved me, and we would go out witnessing, knocking on doors, and all kinds of street evangelism that we did. We were just crazy about getting out there and getting the word out. Of course, I lived in Colorado at the time, and there were some mighty men and women of God out there that were bold for the Lord. Those were the days when you did knock on doors and you passed out tracts more than you see now. Of course, people probably wouldn't open the door for you now like they used to, let you in the house. And we'd go Christmas caroling, and even our church went to John Denver's house and a few of the well-known people to witness to them. They let us in.
He was quite a New Ager, you know.
Yeah,
John Denver.
John Denver was.
Yeah. Well, you know, because I was with Walter Martin's Bible study and everything, a friend of mine that I met there, we used to go to occult bookshops and witness to the owners and the people running those occult bookshops. And we saw some real miraculous stuff. We would go up to Ojai. I don't know if you know where Ojai is, by Santa Barbara. That's like a New Age Mecca. And we would go up there witnessing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you don't hear much about people going out there and just sharing the gospel. But you know what? I think this is a different time now, that people now have a different concept of Christianity, and you can't undo their false impression that Christianity is what they see on Christian television. And they've already seen enough of that. And so they don't want to hear what you have to say now, because their opinions are already formed.
Yeah, well, of course, now that we have the internet and they see these people on the internet, and yeah, they see these people on television, where you can't hardly turn on any of these channels that call themselves Christian and see these money grubbing preachers on there crying for money, and they have every kind of con going. So it's so awful what's happened, and how the love of money has created these monsters that we see. And it's very sad, yeah, because there's people out there dying and going to hell without Jesus. And it's harder to reach people now, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because they've already got their opinions formed. And, you know, it would be like trying to go out there and get Democrats to become Republicans. You're not going to have much hope doing that.
Yeah, they get wilder by the day. I think to myself sometimes. I say, where did these people come from? I mean, where did these ideas come from? And who are these people? They're just the weirdest bunch of people. And their ideas about how to have a democracy. You see the whole form of government really falling apart the way we knew it.
I know, but we're not that it's a different generation than the baby boom generation that we're a part of.
Yeah.
Not that we were perfect by any means. We set the stage for a lot of it. We raised them.
Yeah, well, we definitely weren't perfect. But of course, it was a different time. I think there was more innocence in our day in some ways, of course, back in the 60s when we were teenagers. And so it's much different now, the way things are, because of the internet and the television, the news media. It's so much propaganda. I never thought I was going to see so much propaganda. And the sad thing is people believe it, because I can see even from my interactions with people that a lot of people really do believe the fake news. They don't have time to do the research like we do. We spend most of our days doing research and checking things out to make sure that whatever we're going to present here anyway, and whatever you present, it's correct. And so people believe what they hear on the news, and they believe what they read on their websites, and they don't go and cross-reference things so much and try to get to the truth. So you see where people are more and more believing the lie that's out there than they would rather believe the truth.
Well, it's successful social engineering at work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And unfortunately, the whole planet seems to be somewhat brainwashed. And those who aren't brainwashed are maybe following different pipers than that one. So it's the devil has a snare for everybody. And that's why we're supposed to be on the alert and be watchful, because Jesus warned us that deception would be part of the end time scenario. And of course, there would also be that great apostasy. And so you've got the church apostatizing on one end, and then you've got on the other side, the people who want to be free to commit every sin under the sun and to have it endorsed by everybody. So it's this is all just the setup for the man with all the solutions to come on the scene.
Yeah, well, you could see that the way is definitely being paved, because you could have somebody as evil and as wicked as Joe Biden and people praising him and not reporting the truth about what's going on. And so you can see that if they're going to accept someone like this, who are they going to accept in the future? So, yeah, it's all a preparation for what's coming as far as politics goes. Yeah, the man of sin. And we can definitely see the stage being set. I don't like it. I don't like even being here to see all this going on. Mm-hmm. And to see, for me too, to see how hurt people are going to be from it all. That's the tragic part.
Oh, certainly. Well, and to think that some of the young people whose faces we're seeing are the ones who are going to suffer all the things written in the book of Revelation, if indeed it is, you know, within this generation. I said it before, when they talk about Generation Z, I wonder if that's because it's the end of the alphabet. If that is the last generation. And, and if it is, I hate to think of what they're going to be faced with.
Oh, I know. It's hard to think about, really. It's really hard to think about. You think how hard it must be for anyone that's trying to raise a child right now, because, yikes, the schools. When we went to school and we were children, we were innocent. Who cared? I didn't know if I was rich or poor. I didn't know. I didn't have any racism. I didn't even know what racism was. And we just all got along together when we went to school, and we didn't think about it as children. And now the things children are exposed to, the gay, trans, the people dressing up as men or women coming to read to children and books, and then they have to have this critical race theory, and they're bombarded with things they're not really even ready for.
I know, and they're trying to just destroy these kids' childhoods and steal their innocence, and that's the devil.
Yeah.
That's the devil at work when he tries to steal the innocence of these young kids. It is one of those things that just grieves you so bad that, and yet it seems like everything is so out of control and there's nothing we can do about it except, you know, be a voice in the wilderness, because this is quite the wilderness.
It's quite the wilderness, and that's true. There's really nothing we can do about it except stay on the straight and narrow and try to do what we can to help people come out of, especially all the deception that's in the church. And looking at the people that we're going to talk about today, Patricia King and these men and women that follow her, and it's so bizarre the things that they say and the things that they do, and the fact that they're influencing so many thousands and probably millions of people. That's very frightening too.
Yeah, I know, you know, because they are, they're all, you know, I think the Lord really showed me about the passage about how in the end times, it's mentioned even in Revelation that they would have the sin of Balaam, who you know, was bought off in order to deceive the children of God. And there's so many today, and that's exactly how to describe them. Like Balaam was a prophet, but who tried to prophesy and he had a hard time of it. And then when God wouldn't let him prophesy against Israel, then he tells Balak that, well, you know what you can do is you can stumble them and cause them to sin and cause them to worship another god, and then God will get mad at him and he'll strike them down. And I tell you, when these guys are telling you to follow these false prophets and prophetesses, in the case of what we're talking about today, and that they're okay and just go along with them, and they let them speak it on their platforms and everything else just because they share the same political viewpoint, and then you're leading all these sheep astray, you're Balaam, you're a sellout when you do that. And God doesn't look too fondly on those people who do that. And I've put up some videos on some I felt have done that. I'm thinking of a few Calvary Chapel pastors who have, you know, joined in with the NAR false prophets just for the point of political influence and, you know, getting in some skirts of Paula White to get near the former president. And now you're not hearing as much from them about warning about the false teachers, because we all got to get along.
Oh, well, listening to what's the lady's name? Stacy Campbell. Stacy Campbell, the one, I think it was Stacy Campbell that was saying that she went to some gathering in Rome, and she went to Brazil, or I think she went to Brazil or Portugal, one of those nations. Anyway, she was invited by some Catholic, and she was believing in unity. And so she meets a man there, and of course it's Bergoglio, who later became Pope Francis, and she met him, and she prophesied to him that he was going to be the next pope.
Yeah, that was her. That is exactly what that was, Stacy Campbell. And Stacy Campbell is well known as being the head-shaken prophetess who just goes into this spewing of nonsensical so-called prophetic utterances as she's shaking her head so violently. She knocks people over all around, and she knocked herself down just from shaking her head so violently. You know, if that girl had an aneurysm in her brain, she'd be dead because of
it's nauseating
shaking.
To look at it.
Extremely. She's one that, you know, you mentioned, what's her face? You mentioned Patricia King, and she's been on Patricia King's board and everything. The two of them are dueling prophetesses.
Yeah, well, false prophetesses, and
right,
but it all leads back to the one world government and the one world religious system, where they like to tell you that Jesus wants his church united. Yeah, he wants it united, but he wants it united under the truth of his word.
Absolutely, that's where true unity of the body of Christ comes in, is when those who share the same biblical biblical doctrines can feel like you can meet them and talk to them and we're all on the same page and feel like you know them forever, even though you just met them. That happens all the time with those who are just taught by the word.
Yeah, exactly. I know she was saying that, she was with this Catholic priest or cardinal, whoever he was, and she said, all the people, all these Catholics, they love Jesus. Yeah, I loved Jesus too when I was a Catholic, but I didn't know him from Santa Claus. I didn't know who he was.
I know. I don't know if you saw the latest, this Pope denouncing the false teaching in the Catholic Church, denouncing the teaching of Mary being the co-redeemer. And that set off a firestorm with these traditional Catholics. I mean, the Pope finally
right. Yeah. I wonder why he did that. That's odd,
because
that teaching.
I know, but he says she's not, and then when he said in that statement that she's not a goddess. And I think it's because so many people, he has allowed all these evangelicals to come around and stuff, and he is listening to some of them. And, and I'm sure one of them said that, told him about that, that would make her a goddess because he's the God man. Does that make her the God woman? You know, and so he must have, I just think that's what happened, that somebody challenged him and he tried, that was his defense or his apologetic. Well, she's not the co-redeemer. And I'm telling you, all of these, you know, like Church Militant and the Remnant and all of these Catholic, old-fashioned ones, they're in an uproar over that. And then he finally gets something right.
Mary.
Well, he'll carry on that Mary is still the path to Jesus, but she's not the co-redeemer. I mean, he didn't quite go all the way.
Oh, well, no, they definitely wouldn't go all the way because they say they try to cover it up and say they don't worship Mary. But I remember we worshiped Mary when we were in Catholic school. I don't care what
certainly.
They say, right?
No, we were taught to do that. We were taught to kneel before her and hail Holy Queen and all of those prayers to her. And
I know
they can say that all they want, but what they do in practice. But you see, he's got to say things like that if he wants to achieve the unity between the religions that he's looking for. He wants the unification.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's got to make some concessions in order to do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's how they draw you in. But of course, the Catholic Church only has one motivation in any kind of unity that they talk about or that they're planning, or when they come and put their arms around you, you better see a wolf mask on their face, because their goal is to bring everybody back to the one true church, as they call it. And so that's
right.
Their goal. They're not doing it because they want to unite with other denominations. No, they want you back in the fold.
Right. They want authority over you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to get that, they'll concede a few things.
Yeah, they'll concede a few things. Yeah, but that's how a wolf operates. Is they might say a few things that sound right, but you better watch for those sharp teeth because
they're hungry and you're prey.
Well, that's how they look at it. Yeah, they want everybody back. They want us back in that false religious system. And so there's plenty of people in there.
It reminds me of something Walter Martin used to say. He says, you know a wolf in sheep's clothing by his diet. A wolf devours sheep.
Yeah, well, that is the truth. That is the truth. Let's look at, here's a scripture here, 2 Kings 21:6. And he made his son pass through the fire and observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And that kind of sounds like some of these people that we're going to talk about today. Jeremiah 27:9. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. And that's basically Patricia King and these other people that follow her are dabbling in every kind of sorcery and divination and calling it God.
Yeah, well, because that's the way deception works. And it's counterfeiting the gifts and, you know, and then taking, you know, saying that they are the ones with the power. As a matter of fact, that's what the Antichrist is going to do. He is going to, you know, he's going to be coming with lying signs and wonders all over the place. And these people are preparing the way for that, for acceptance of such a thing.
Well, yeah, that's a good analogy because the Bible says that we're not supposed to go chasing after a sign and a wonder. And that's the trap here, is that they're always talking about a sign and a wonder. I see angels and I went to heaven. Now, I could imagine that most of these people probably live in a constant state of having a nervous breakdown. I don't know how you could spend your whole day. My days are very normal. I lead a very normal life. I don't go looking for angels and asking for trips to heaven and all that. I just lead a very normal life. But I can imagine that all day long they're hearing things and things are appearing to them. And we're going to talk. The next clip I'm going to play is from that Anna Werner, where the angel brought her a kneecap. Now, I can't even imagine my day being like that.
Oh, I got to hear this one.
Okay. Here we have Anna Werner, and this is her. This is how spends her days here. Wait a minute. Here it is. Okay.
See an angel come in with a body part.
Yeah.
Do you, and then you'll give a word. So after you say that God wants to work in spines, do you see the angel go to a person and actually put the spine in, or do you just see him come in and know he wants to do that, or?
So both. It really depends on what the angel does. So sometimes, and like I've been at a meeting one time, it was like a 20-foot angel, a big one, walked in carrying a big spine. And I knew when I saw that. Now, how I knew is I just heard the Lord say what to do with it. And so the Lord told me there's an anointing for spines to be released. I knew it wasn't one particular person.
Oh, okay.
I knew it was many people. But so it was connecting. There's a connection between what I see and now what do I do with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I just released the word. A bunch of people got healed. And then there's other times where an angel will stand behind a person, and I'll be up ministering, and I'll see this angel there. And so I know, well, the presence of the Lord is really resting on that person, and obviously God's doing something. So I'm going to go to where the angel is, and I just follow the angels, and I'm saying, okay, I'm going to go and minister with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other times where angels have shown up at meetings and handed me body parts, and that's a little bit different. So I've had a meeting in, I believe it was Georgia, and I was speaking, and I felt this heat come on the right side of me, behind me. So sometimes you feel it before you see it, just to encourage the feelers out there. I felt it first, and I looked back to see, well, what is that? And I saw this angel holding a kneecap and in his hand. And I thought, okay. So then I looked at the audience and said, does somebody here need a knee, like a brand new knee? And it was, of course, the person standing right in front of me. And she said, me. And I said, okay, this is kind of weird, but there's an angel with a knee here. Is it okay if I release it on you? And she said, okay. You know, she's like, I don't really know what that means, but okay. I turn around, I grab the kneecap, and I literally just said, okay, in Jesus' name. And I put it like this on her knee, and there was this loud, like, and
Whoa.
She went, And she was the creative miracle was just released right then, a brand new me. It was one of the craziest kind of wild angel stories I can share with you. Just where you bring the body part, and I'm like, who needs this or who needs, you know?
Did everybody hear that pop? Or
yes.
Just you? Oh, really?
No, yeah. It's on. They videotaped that.
Whoa.
I don't know how
that.
I could say you can find it.
Yeah.
It's somewhere out there in the world, me, but it's on camera because you can see me look behind and be like,
wow.
You know, and just release it. So it's just fun. And and fear anointing, it's just a fun way that the Lord speaks to me. I just want to use it to release whatever God's trying to do for people. And so for me, I always think about when God shows me something, it's to unlock freedom for the person standing before me in some form or to encourage them.
Wow. She uses the term wild and fun. Is that how these prophetesses have their wild fun? Is by, you know, telling these wild tales, because that's all they are. You know, and you know who started that really was William Branham. He had, what was it, Emma or something? His angel that he couldn't do anything until the angel showed up. People like Robert Slearden, you know, went on their heaven trips and saw the body parts hanging in God's warehouse. You know, and so they truly do. And I think, you know, back to Jeremiah 23, God says that these prophets, they steal my words from one another. And then later he says, and they're not my words. In other words, those they claim it's his words, and then they steal those from one another. Because really, they don't have an original thought in their brain. You know, it's kind of like Hollywood today. They don't have any original thoughts. They just have to recycle everything that, you know, was done there 30, 40 years ago. And it's pretty pathetic. So that's what she was doing. All of this was plagiarism, basically.
Well, this girl is headed for big trouble. I could see she's probably having mental problems as it is, because how could you even come up with this story? She sees a 20-foot angel, angel. How did she even know the angel was 20 feet? And then she says that, of course, if this big event happened, like she claims, you don't think that she would have had it on video so she could show people? She says, the video is probably out there somewhere. No, I'm pretty sure she would want that video to be seen about how the angel was holding a kneecap and a huge spine he was holding.
Well, so it's for some giant, a Nephilim that you haven't come upon yet?
Yeah, maybe it was for the Nephilim,
for the Nephilim.
why would the spine even have to be a big spine?
Exactly. Well, because they're big tails. They're tall tails, so you got to have some tall Nephilim to provide these spines for. It, you know, and people who follow after these things are really what the Bible refers to as those with itching ears, and they want, or those that always want to hear something new. I believe that was when that's what was said in the book of Acts when Paul went in, was it in Ephesus, where they just about tried to stone him, and they were chanting, you know, long live Diana of the Ephesians or whatever, because they always came to hear something new. You know, maybe it was when he was talking about the unknown God, but that's what they would do. They would gather to hear the newest thing. What's the newest thing in religion? And that very same searching false spirit and false reason to be looking for the supernatural with all the, because they want the tickling spine and all of that. Pardon the pun, as far as the spine goes, but because they just want, it's the same ones that watch these ghost stories on TV, you know, it's they just want something to tickle their fancy. And that's far from those who are seeking the truth and are willing to live their lives for the truth. And Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And those who earnestly seek that, they're the ones that, you know, that God brings his Holy Spirit to and guides them in all truth through his word. So these people are looking for it in all the wrong places.
It's very sad, because this is a young lady, Anna Warner. She's probably in her 30s, if even that. And for her to be as deep into this seer thing, and she comes up with the wildest stories. Yeah, she's got a great imagination. She would make a great fiction writer.
Some of these women we've been looking at for the past couple of weeks, a lot of them seem to want to imitate the style of Paula White, because, you know, that seemed to be what the successful women prophetesses do, is talk like her. And some seem to emulate Cindy Jacobs. You know, we were talking about the A-list prophetesses and the B-list ones. And so the C and D-listers are looking at the A and B-listers and trying to imitate them to try to get the same success in gathering a crowd, basically.
Well, yeah. But, of course, when I was in the Word of Faith movement, I knew I wasn't going to be an A-lister, because I knew that I was going to have to play politics and I was going to have to compromise. I knew some A-listers, as we say, and I knew that they were already so compromised that it didn't interest me. But these are social climbers. Yeah, they think that they could reach the top of the heap, but it's very hard to get there.
Yeah, but they're all status seekers.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really and you're right, it is, it seems like it would be a mental illness, but I really see it as more totally spiritual deception. And it's so much on the rise now. I think the closer we get to the second coming, the more the devil and his angels know their time is short, and they're beefing it up with deceiving people. And they love to deceive people in the guise of religion. That's their old MO.
Yeah, and they like to make a name for themselves and go out and then have this title of prophetess. And of course, coming out of Word of Faith movement myself, that was always a big thing, was to seek out the prophetic and to try to tap into that anointing. So I can see where these people are still buying into it. They're still buying into the fact that they want to be prophetesses and they want to be known to give you a word.
And but again, they take all of that from one another. They really, and these are not God's words that they're taking. These are false interpretations of biblical concepts that really aren't there anyway. In fact, this morning I was watching an expose on Joel Osteen's sister, Jill. And Jill gets up there talking about how to make your dreams come true. Is that what the Bible's all about? Is how to declare and proclaim our dreams so that our dreams can come true? And she was, you know, sharing how to, you know, declare and believe God for the right husband and the new house and, you know, all of this kinds of stuff. And she was taking scriptures totally out of context. I mean, unbelievably out of context to say something they don't say. I mean, total sentences. She wouldn't say the rest of the sentence our reward is what is in heaven. She was saying that when God talks about the reward, it's fulfilling our dreams in the here and now. It's real worldliness. It's materialism.
Yeah.
And that's what they appeal to. They're appealing to that sinful side in men, and in this case women, for wanting things. You see, that's really the bottom line in this. It's greed and avarice.
Yeah, it's greed and avarice. Yeah, it definitely is. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing what's happened to the church, or that's the fake church. That's not the real church. But of course, there's still a small remnant, which probably always will be, that will follow after the truth. Because they do. They promise you the world. And God's only going to give you what he decides he's going to give you. I don't care. You can make all the declarations you want. But
yeah, but a lot of people, you know, you remember the temptation mount where the devil told Jesus, oh, you can have all of this. I'll show you all the riches of the whole world. And he's given that same temptation to other people, and they're accepting the deal.
They're accepting the deal, exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's one of the things that really started to turn me off about the Word of Faith movement, as I saw all the compromise. And I would say to my friends, well, why do they keep talking about mansions all the time and Rolex watches? And what does it matter? Who cares?
I know.
You know,
do you remember that? There was a book written back then. It was called You'll Know Them by Their Cadillacs.
Yeah. Well, that was it. That was it. When you went to a meeting, wherever these people were going to be, yeah, they pulled up in their limos and they had their bodyguards and whatever. And I said, this is ridiculous. Like, yeah. And then they wouldn't talk to you unless you had something that you could do to them politically. They didn't want to talk to you. They weren't going to take their time out to talk to you. It's like Juanita Bynum, and I'm going to do a program about this. She had a meltdown the other day because somebody called her a Jezebel on her Facebook page. And she
that was
went
appropriate.
On. Did you see that?
No, you told me about that. Yeah.
And she says, I was on TMZ. And I am in the encyclopedia, my name.
Oh,
and I'm like,
no.
Honey, you are getting ready for a big fall. And if you have a public ministry and if you have a public Facebook page, then people can go there to criticize you. And she said, you're supposed to come to me if you have all. Well, who's going to get to her? Nobody's getting to her to tell her, I have this against you and I have that against you. Nobody's calling her up to tell her. So she needs to get a life, but oh my word, did she ever have a meltdown over just being called the Jezebel?
It reminds me of all of those videos that we see, those political ones with all those meltdowns of all those women screaming and going into their rages just over somebody mentioning the name Trump or something, and they have. Oh, I think Madonna had one of those famous meltdowns.
Oh yeah, they did.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, it's that same spirit. There's some wicked, vain spirit that's coming upon the women of the world and the so-called prophetesses in the church and those who follow them, and the rage that comes by their followers if you dare question anything.
Oh, yeah, because when she was having her rant, whoever was in her audience or whatever, they were going, yeah, yeah. And she was this lady, I think her name was Linda Wilson, that made the comment. And you, Linda Wilson, how many followers do you have? You have 20
followers. Oh, boy.
You have 20 likes on your Facebook page. Who cares? I mean, even if we did this program for one person, if there was one person out there that was going to benefit from what we're saying, then we've accomplished something, because then that one person is going to help somebody else. So who cares
That's
how many
right.
likes you have on your Facebook page or how many people are following you? Oh, I couldn't believe, I guess maybe I should have believed it, how she was behaving.
Yeah, coming from
it's
her.
Worse than that. Yeah, coming from her.
Yeah, I know. And there's a lot of those vain women that think you have to, you know, bow down before them wherever they go. It's real vanity. It's vanity, vanity, vanity. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's vanity. And she says, my name's in the encyclopedia. So I'm saying, yeah, well, there's your name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the only book I want my name in. I don't care about any other books. That's fine if they want to put
cares?
Me there, but who cares?
Who cares if your name's in the encyclopedia? What are they going to say? You were a scam artist? For Jesus?
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's how you're going
notorious.
To be remembered. Yeah.
A lot of notorious names are remembered. I mean, Billy the Kid's name's going to be in there too.
Yeah. Okay, here is Patricia King, and Patricia King, this is her heaven trip. She goes to heaven too.
Your new book, Accessing the Riches of Heaven.
I love the book because it goes into so many aspects, not only of what riches are, but how to access them.
But you had the privilege of going to the treasury room in heaven.
Yeah, that wasn't that long ago either. I was in a worship service, and the Lord took me into an encounter with him, and I was at a doorway that was open, and I felt the invitation of the Lord to go in. The first thing, it came in three levels of revelation. The first thing I saw, like the walls, the floor, the ceiling, was like see-through gold as far as you could see, pure, pure gold. You couldn't see an end to it, but I knew it was wall, ceiling, and floor. And I was amazed. I was standing there amazed in awe. And then I saw in the middle of the room a wooden chest that was a rough wood that was saturated with, I believe it was blood because it was scarlet in color. And then these coins that emanated light, just filling it. And I knew in the spirit that I had access to that. And so I was in awe of that. But then Jesus was revealed in the vision. He was standing just behind the chest a little bit to the side. And I looked at him, and he was so radiant and so amazing that everything else I saw paled in comparison, even though I was awestruck by every phase of it until Jesus came.
Patricia was making breakfast one morning, and suddenly an angel was in the kitchen with three prophetic scrolls about the future. I think you told me scrambled eggs or something and having breakfast, and you have some guests. Tell me about them.
Yeah, so, you know, this is really important, I think, Sid, because a lot of times believers think that you have to be in some kind of spiritual retreat or spiritual position to receive from God, but I was just cooking eggs. I was cooking breakfast for my house guests, and all of a sudden I felt the presence of an angelic being behind me, and it made me stop what I was doing, and then I went to turn to see if I could actually see it in visionary form, which I didn't, by the way, but I did see in my spirit three scrolls, which I knew were three messages, and to my understanding, the angel delivered three messages from the Lord for my personal life and ministry at that time. It was an unfolding of revelation by the Spirit of God of one scripture in the Bible. It was Genesis 26, verse 12 and 13, which is the story.
Yeah. I never have that happening when I'm scrambling eggs.
No, I think she's got a scrambled brain.
Yeah.
But you know, and if she felt something behind her, see, that sounds to me, if she is speaking the truth, it is sounding like she's having poltergeist activity or a haunting.
Yeah.
And you know, she belongs on those shows that, you know, follow the latest hauntings. And
she does.
Because that isn't the normal Christian walk. And
no.
You know, because we're not even, we're in this, in our own plane or our own realm or however you want to put it. I mean, there's a scripture for that about the angels who left their first estate, that's wrong, that they have their plane of living and we have ours, and we're not to cross the two. The time when we cross the two is when Jesus takes us up into heaven, but everybody trying to go where they're not, you know, allowed to go, that's a breach. Well, it's a breach, and the fallen angels breach that, and God's angels, when God chooses to dispatch one to give a message, as he did with Gabriel or as Michael, and the angels have, according to God's dispatching, they take on human form. I mean, think of the angels that came to Lot. And I think the only time you really saw one in the Bible that actually looked 20 feet tall or really scary was the one with that David came upon that had his sword drawn and was carrying out the plague that was killing everybody as a judgment. Was it the plane of, I forget the name of it, Onan or something. Anyway, you know, people can study angels in the Bible and see how they operate versus these wild stories, because these don't even resemble scripture when angels are brought up.
No, and then she says that she sees this thing in heaven and she sees this chest and there's blood on it. Now, why in the world would there be blood on a chest that has gold coins in it? Why?
Yeah, well, there's no biblical reason for it. You know, it's hard to say that, you know, the devil's mimicking or mocking of the blood of Christ. It sounds like a mockery a mockery of the blood that Jesus shed for us.
Yeah, there would be no reason for there to be blood on a chest that had money in it.
And so many of these wild stories sound like a mockery of the real.
Yeah.
Which is a real dangerous thing to be playing. That's a bad game when you're trying to, you're making up stories and trying to upstage the word of God with falsehoods and with, and usually with stories and crazy things that have no eternal purpose in them whatsoever.
No,
and
none.
They help us in no way, shape, or form.
No.
They can't even compete with the Bible. They can't compete with the word of God. They look like a magician's trick. And the miracles in the Bible, they can't even touch that. They come nowhere near it. And so that's just, you know, the devil's counterfeiting in order to put on a show.
Well, yeah, and to draw people aside, because then they have people constantly chasing after these apparitions and these visitations, and instead of concentrating on just living a normal life and not living out there in the twilight zone. And
it's an evil generation, Jesus said, that's seeking after a sign. That's the evil generation. And this younger generation, not to be picking on them, because I have some children that came from there myself who wouldn't do this. But, you know, some of that generation, they're the ones that were raised playing video games. You know, they want some to compete with some of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, definitely. And that's, like you said, they don't have anything new. So they, all of them come up with these stories, and then they have to one up each other and to try to get to the top of the popularity poll. But of course, I think Patricia King is probably up there in the top of the so-called prophetesses, and then she's got her little followers. Of course, I think she does have a regular television program. Did you see that video, Jackie, where she was doing the raves? That didn't last long, even when I was now that was frightening. That was very frightening.
Oh yeah. I mean, she's a sorceress. She is working with some scary powers. Okay, it's not all fun and games and sleight of hand with her. I do believe that she is in contact with some deceiving spirits, some very wicked ones, as a matter of fact. In fact, I had mentioned to you this thing about the ox that somehow.
Oh, yeah, I have an audio, yeah.
Yeah, because that I'm still trying to figure out where she's getting with that, or where that comes from. You know, because she tried
her
to.
Here's her talking about it. Let's play that.
Okay.
Hey, I have a message on the ox anointing. It was in 1999. We were doing an event called Apostolic Oil. And during that prayer time, I felt the Spirit of God come on me. And all of a sudden, I fell down on my knees and onto the floor with my hands in front of me. So, in other words, I was on all fours sort of thing. And I started feeling in my body like I was no longer a human. I felt like I was me. But I was an ox. Instead of a human, I was an ox. I believe that the ox, known as the servant, is actually a type, what we see is a symbol of the apostolic anointing. And so the ox anointing, I want us all to be smeared with that oil, that we would all become apostolic. And I said, so what types of experiences have you had? And she shared a few. And so then I said to her, I said, listen, have you ever had an experience with a werewolf? And she said, no, but I've read about them. So I said, well, I have. She says, you have? Like, what kind of experiences? By this time, we're sitting down at the lunch table, and she chooses to sit beside me. And I said, well, you know, I was over, in another country. We were doing some ministry with some street people, trying to get them, you know, safe from drug problems and that. And the last person in that meeting that stayed for prayer, as we were praying for them, there's three people in the room, we were all praying. As we prayed, this man started to manifest a werewolf
spirit. His hair bristled back, almost like ears were formed out of his hair. Fangs came down out of his mouth. He got on all fours and started howling like a wolf. She said, "You're kidding." I said, "No, I'm not." She said, "Well, what did you do?" I said, "Well, I cast the werewolf out of him." I said, "Those werewolf spirits aren't very good, you know. They're nasty things." She says, "Yeah, I understand that from what I've read." And she says, "Well, how did you do that?" And I said, "Well, I belong now to the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. There's no greater power than the power of Jesus. So I just took the authority that's in the name of Jesus, because I'm allowed to use that authority, and I told that spirit to come out." She says, "Well, what happened?" I said, "It went, ah!" You know, and the guy was rolling on the floor, and it came out. She said, "That is so fascinating." And so when I met the angel of prosperity, it actually came in kind of a minty green sort of color, I thought, as a light, and it had movement to it. And the Lord spoke to me. The Holy Spirit said, "This is the angel of prosperity." When I met the angel of prosperity, the Lord says, "This angel ministers my kingdom prosperity." So he says, "I am letting that angel serve you now." I want to pray for you today to be activated in your prophetic gift. And I realize that some of you might have never prophesied before, but you're going to. And some of you are very mature in the prophetic. But I believe that no matter how mature we are, we can increase all the more. You know, the gift of prophecy is one of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit who is given to the church. And when you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have those 9 gifts. They're as gifts. And so it's a matter of learning how to activate them by
faith. Well,
yeah.
Well, you know, she said that this wolf, this man, went down on all fours howling. But she says she herself had the ox anointing, and she went down on all fours. So what was she doing? Mooing? Or, you know, howling's not good, but mooing's okay. Anyone can go down on all fours, and it's significant of something. Well, the only time in Scripture where somebody went down on all fours as an animal was in the book of Daniel.
Nebuchadnezzar,
that's right. And,
when he was crazy.
That's right. Well, he was boasting about himself and the palace that he built. This is great, and this is for my honor and my majesty. And in Daniel 4:31, it says, while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice from heaven said, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." And so at that very hour, that's what happened. And he was naked with his nails sticking out. And he ended up like that for, 7 years until he looked up and realized it was God who was in control. So it was a horrifying judgment upon that vain king. And for her to claim an anointing of such is self-condemning. She's calling judgment down upon herself to make such a statement that she would go down on all four, on hands and knees and become an ox. Did I get you that one by Stacey Campbell's husband, what he said about the...
I couldn't get it up in time because I only had a minute to get
live. Well, anyway, I have a tape of him saying that. It's on my... actually, I have it on my YouTube channel, something about false prophets or something. But he claimed that there's got to be an ox, that having an ox in the barn is the same thing as pastoring the prophetic. He says if you pastor the prophetic, he compared it to an ox making his defecating messes in the stable. And though the stable is filled with all of this mess, you've got to clean through it to try to find a nice little pearl that was dropped inside all of that dung. And so that's just the way it is to pastor the prophetic. Okay, that's what Stacey Campbell's son Wes had to say. And so that was the clip. But anyway, maybe you can play it on a future one. But you see, this whole thing about the ox, you know, about the only place that I think in the Bible that shows the ox is something to that even comes into play is when the ox were pulling the the tabernacle, and then they tripped, and then remember the guy reached out to catch it, and got struck dead.
Yeah.
I don't see how. I think if you were going to find an animal in the Bible to have some anoint to call it an anointing, I think it would be the jackass, because after all, you know. Jesus rode in on the colt of a donkey, and the donkey rebuked,
the prophet.
The prophet. So that would be better. Yeah. We should just call them the jackass anointing.
Well, yeah, that's a good. I think that would make a good video. I think that would really just inspire some interest. Is the jackass anointing? Okay, here's another one. See your transport.
I had about 30 seconds till he got to me, and I'm going, come on, God, give me the dream, give me the dream. Right. I laid there in stillness. By the time he was coming around the corner, he's, rah, I could hear his voice. I got up. I said, okay, God, I trust you, whatever you want. And when I got up, in between my son and I was an angel dressed like a Roman centurion soldier. And he was sitting in between us and smiling. He had the biggest smile. And he was from ear to ear smiling at me. And I went, oh, it frightened me. And I see my son on the other side of him, but I see him in between us. And he's smiling. And instantly when I see him, the entire dream comes back to me.
Come on.
He was with me in the dream, taking me to the future and showing me future promises, things that God was planning and preparing for my life. I realized in that moment just how spiritual memory is and dream recall. And so we go through, how do you increase in dream recall? Things like this help develop your seer nature.
And this is all in the book, Secrets of the Seer. So many keys on how you can awaken that seer nature in you and recalling things and seeing angels. And we're going to hear things. I started feeling, being ignited in that seer. And that's what happens when we read, the seer prophets.
Yes.
And we meditate on them. It awakens it, doesn't it? Yeah,
totally.
So give us another secret.
The secret of imagination is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And it's something so easily accessible to so many right now where they're at. They don't have to, fast or, it's so immediate.
Yeah.
And so I started recognizing the power of the secret, the ability to see God in our imagination. And I believe it's the window into the realm of the supernatural.
You're actually seeing it.
Yeah.
You're seeing it. It says, you will live and not die. Arise in Jesus' name. Arise. And I called her name and I said, arise, arise.
Yes.
And I could just feel myself doing that. Now, I'm hearing myself speak it out loud, but in my mind's eye, I'm seeing myself speak it over her.
Wow.
It was all connected to my imagination, but born of the Spirit. So I continued to pray after that encounter. And the next day, I finally got to connect with her, and I said, I had this encounter, and I was wondering if you were actually aware that I was in the room, because it felt so real, even though it was in the mind's eye. And she said, actually, it was. She worked out the time, her time, at 12:12, and that was the time when she had a breakthrough. She had been in this horrible warfare and pressure, and all of a sudden at that time she felt the breakthrough, and she saw in her mind's eye a vision of me coming into the room. Now, I'm over in America. We had not been in contact by telephone. I'd actually heard from her intercessor about how bad it was. I wasn't able to connect with her yet. But all of a sudden, she sees me coming in the room like a big lion, and all of a sudden, I roared, and everything moved out of the way.
Oh,
but that's when her turnaround came. Now, the reason I'm sharing that is because it was all in faint images in the mind's eye, but so real that God was showing through the mind's eye what was actually taking place in the realm of the spirit.
Well, that explains all the things they're seeing. They're imagining it all.
Yeah.
So they've got some anointed imagination to imagine things that are not. And that doesn't make them so.
Oh, they've got some imaginations. Vain imaginations, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, that's how they come up with all of these things. These aren't visions they're having. These are their fallen imaginations coming up with wild, tall tales to tell.
Yeah.
As if they're
she's
real.
She's in a room and she becomes a lion. She turns into a lion.
Well, you know, she really does have the beast anointing, doesn't she?
Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't realize it.
Right, right. She's a beast. She doesn't know. Yeah.
Oh, please. That's a far out tale, if there ever was one. She was transported to another country.
Yeah, by location.
That's
right. Well, she can't come up short when she competes with other false prophets, you know, so their imagination has to come up with the one-upmanship, you know, over the last guy who did that. And we've heard a lot of them try to, you know, trying to say that they can be two places at one time.
Yeah,
that's called bilocation. But you see, these things, none of these things can be verified, you see. So it's easy for them to say these things. And all of their claims of raising people from the dead, and here's some of these A-listers have cameras following them at all times. And they have, they have raised, you know, like Heidi Baker. Oh, she's raised hundreds of people from the dead. Well, you know, when she was in Africa or whatever. And where's the tape? You have cameras on everything else. Why not that?
Yeah.
You see, because these guys are liars and deceivers, and the worst darkness judgment is awaiting them, according to Jude. You know, things that you don't even want to think about. I mean, they are in big, big trouble, and some of them are getting up there in age, and they're going to, you know, I don't even think most of them that I don't even think we'll see them at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, for the most part, these people are liars and deceivers, and they'll have their way in the lake of fire with the father that they serve, because it sure isn't the father that the Bible speaks of. It's the, except for the one with a small F.
Well, because they sell books, they have conferences, they have television programs, so they're taking in big money. And they have to keep this fiction going, and it is fiction. Where is that in scripture where you go transport to another country and you're there in the room and then all of a sudden you turn into a lion?
No. In fact, the only thing that comes close to that, because he doesn't turn into a lion, is was it Philip that was transported to speak to the eunuch? He wasn't in two places at once. It was more like he was physically transported to talk to the eunuch. And then after he baptized them, then he, you know, he came back up and he disappeared because he went back to where he was. But it was a transportation, not a bilocation. You know, but again, they will just take a story and one up it, you know, because and when you question them about it, they always quote where Jesus says, greater things will you do because I go to the Father. And of course, it was greater in number because nobody can do anything
greater
than God
did. Exactly. Yeah. But they don't say that. It took me a while when I was in the Word of Faith movement to figure that one out, because they would always say, oh, Jesus said we're going to do greater. So, yeah, we're going to do greater. But yeah, it's only greater by number, because nobody can do greater than Jesus. Who do we think we were, that we were going to do greater things than he did as far as miracles and whatever? But even raising people from the dead, I don't want to be raised from the dead. I wouldn't even want to be raised from the dead. I don't want to come back. Once I'm in heaven, I don't want to come back. Who wants to come back?
Hey, if these guys can do greater than Jesus, I can't wait to see them walking on the ocean, on the water above the waves.
Well, yeah, nobody's ever claimed to do that.
Let them walk on water. Well, they try to calm the storm. Remember some of them? I think it was Gloria Copeland who was moving the hurricane away.
Oh, yeah. I never heard anybody claim to walk on water. That one I have not heard yet.
No. Let's see that one. I want to see them walk on water.
Yes, well, we'll see. Okay, here's one of our favorites.
They won't have their cameras running. We'll hear about it, but there won't be any cameras.
Exactly, that's it. She gets a kneecap like Anna Warner. She gets a kneecap from an angel, but there was no camera that she could think, oh, it's out there somewhere. Yeah, okay.
Right.
Be all right then. Okay, here's one of our favorites here, Jennifer LeClaire. She was the editor of Charisma Magazine. Now, here's wacky Jennifer.
Is what it is. It's a merman spirit, a spirit that is half fish half man. This is called a merman spirit. I come against the octopus spirit. I come against the squid spirit, that mind-binding spirit. I sever the tentacles of these spirits and command wild-ass spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, I renounce the wild-ass spirit. I renounce and repent for operating in a wild-ass spirit in my church. I renounce anti-submissiveness, rejection of authority, untamed spirits, spirits of restraint, and other spirits that influence me to buck and fight against leadership. Up there, Jennifer LeClaire here with you, Senior Leader of the Awakening House of Prayer Global Movement. Forgive me, Lord, for wanting my own way, refusing to yield to the leaders that you have put in my life and causing confusion. In Jesus' name, I speak to the wild-ass spirit, spirit of chaos, foolhardy spirits, impetuous spirits, reckless spirits, self-willed spirits, unbridled spirits, and wayward spirits, and I command you to loose me in the name of Jesus. I cast you out.
Okay, now, do you think that wild ass spirit is what was given? Who was it? Was that who are we talking about? No, the one that was having the wild and the fun.
Anna that, Werner.
Yeah,
the one that got the body part.
Yeah, the one that said Yeah, that was her. That was her.
Yeah.
And so she was having wild and fun. The spirit was giving her wild and fun.
She has a lot of fun,
And so this one just had the wild-ass spirit. And the spirit that came like an octopus. Now, what does the octopus do? Well, what do you say? It's an
this
unclean
was the
animal.
Editor of Charisma Magazine. I don't know if she's still the editor.
I'm not sure. You know, she has kind of struck out on her own and is
speaking
at,
yes.
You know, she'll speak at the conferences with all of these other wild ass ladies.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we're not trying to make fun of this. This is not funny. This is detrimental to so many people.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
This is really disastrous. And it's one thing to laugh because of the insanity of it all.
The insanity of it, yeah.
But it's not a laugh. We're not laughing with them or at them. We're just, I think it's just at the absurdity is what we're laughing
at. Yeah, exactly. No, you're absolutely right. It's not. When it's very sobering to watch these things and to think of what does this have to do with Christianity, really? What does this have to do with the plagues that are coming upon the earth and the beginning of sorrows that we're seeing? What does any of this have to do with any of that, which facing the realities that we're facing today? Does it offer comfort to people? How is any of this going to help anybody in the future? It's just not.
No, as a matter of fact, it discredits the Bible. It discredits Christianity. And that's what the devil means for it to do. And so if he's deceiving any of these women and giving them these any weird delusional visions or, you know, false imaginations and things like that, It's for the purpose of their voice getting out there and leading many, many astray. So it's really, it's perilous. It's disastrous. It isn't funny.
No, it's not funny. It is very sad. And, but that's what people are running after. They have huge followings, these people, and they're still, able to earn a living at their craft, and that's basically what it is. But one thing, of course, that Jennifer LeClaire was saying was, oh, we repent for not obeying our leaders. And that was a big thing in Word of Faith, is that no matter what your pastor did or what he said, you had to stay there and pray for him. And it was so ridiculous because, no, if your pastor is a heretic and he's leading people astray, you're not supposed to stay there. No, you're not supposed to stay there. But they always had this big thing about authority and submission, and it's really twisted. It's very, very twisted. But
speaking of authority, the the recent video that I put together of some of these women is called Prophetic Women Rise to Their Authority, because they don't have any authority in and of themselves. They are taking authority in, you know, with the help of the devil to rise up against truth. And,
yeah, exactly.
And so you can go to my YouTube channel, just look up my name on YouTube and find that. No, I think
yeah,
it's a 30-minute video.
Yeah, that's a good – actually, that's where I got the idea for this program today, because I kind of wanted to focus on these women and the fact that they're leading so many people astray and coming up with these bizarre stories, like you said, to one-up each other. But here's another one of their followers, their buddies, or the Herzogs, David and Stephanie Herzog.
Bethel, and we have awesome encounters with God. I mean, we get visitations, people get visions, people get taken up to heaven in their spirits, of course. So it's really an awesome thing to know about these geographical locations.
Well, there's also wells. We talked about redigging the wells of revival. So a lot of people like to go to wells. They like to go to Azusa. They like to go to places that had major moves of God, and hoping that maybe there's like a residue left over of that glory or of that revival. But I still find that when I go to Israel, where the blood of Jesus spilled, there's even a greater residue of the glory in those geographical locations, like Bethel, Jerusalem, Mount Carmel, where Elijah had that showdown. So there's places, even in other countries around the earth, that when you step in there, suddenly you feel, wow, I feel the glory, Rob. I can get visions and dreams, and I'm hearing God better. It's exciting to discover where those places are.
Oh, yes. Every time we go to Mount Carmel and we just invoke that same spirit that breaks the powers of false religion and idol worship and all that stuff, and we even, this last trip, we prayed for rain over Israel because they were really needing it. And we did the rain dance with our Native American friends, and we sang the songs and prayed for rain for every direction. And then that night, for 2-3 days straight, it was like the...
You can go to a place and just consecrate to God, break any demonic stuff over it, fast, pray, whatever you have to do, and break through and create your own well. Your home can be a well or an open heaven. You can create your own open heaven and say, Lord, let my house be an open heaven. So when I...
My brand new book, The Ancient Portals of Heaven. In this book, you will understand the ancient pathways that open up the supernatural for men of God like Moses, Elijah, Solomon, and even Enoch. Learn about the ancient wisdom of Solomon that allowed him to see the glory of God firsthand. You'll also discover where the forgotten geographical portals are, and even the seasonal portals of the glory of God. Learn about the ancient secrets of worldwide harvest and the mysterious roles of the sons of Isaac and Ishmael, and what the ancient keys are to the rise and fall of nations. Order this book today for only $20.
Only $20.
Yeah.
It always comes down to the price tag.
Yeah, it always comes down to, you can create a portal. That's their big thing, is they go to these
mm-hmm.
places because they're trying to find openings where they can get an opening so they can communicate with God.
Yep. Yeah, and Sedona is usually one of those places.
Yeah, he lives in Sedona, I think. Yeah, and Sedona is one of the most beautiful places on earth. It's gorgeous.
Oh, it is. Yeah,
and
that's why you can reach God there. You can just walk up that ladder. No,
yeah,
you know, really, that's there is just nothing biblical about that. Do you think the God in heaven needs some particular space that he can come, you know, come and go?
That's sad. Yeah, now that is really, really sad to think that. You're trying to convince people that they can't talk to God no matter where they're
mm-hmm.
at. They have to try to go someplace, travel somewhere where there's an opening in the heavens so that
Boy.
They can get through to God. Now, that is very sad.
That is very deceiving and evil, because that's what the New Agers say. You know, that's, they even have these portal tours in Sedona, and you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, they even have tours. Yeah, and they'll stick you in one of those those heat huts and, you know, have you fry and then take you out and go find your portal. It's really bad. But this is so much of the New Age and occultic ideas have come into the church, but they've all been redefined with Christian terminology, but arose by any other name is still a rose, or in this case, the thorns on the rose.
Yeah, the thorns. Okay, so here we have about 10 minutes left. Here's Patricia King on the Law of Attraction. She wrote a book about
this. This is one of my most favorite books right now, God's Law of Attraction. It is an amazing discovery when we understand that God creates the laws for our benefit and we get to search them out. It says in 3 John verse 2, Beloved, I pray that you would prosper in every respect and be in health as your soul prospers. So God's law of attraction is about soul's prosperity. Whatever you think, whatever you imagine, whatever you feel, whatever you choose, whatever you speak, is going to have effect on your life. You've heard of it said in Job, that which I feared came upon me. You see, he attracted what he feared because he was operating in God's law of attraction. But you know, when you align your soul with the promises of God, guess what you're going to attract? You're going to attract those promises. You'll want to get God's law of attraction. It'll transform your life.
Cults, of course, that's an old occultic term. And, you know, the law of attraction.
Yeah.
But it goes well with their name it and claim it ideas. And in fact, I had a video, of course, I don't have time to share it, but it was of the lady who wrote the law of attraction. Well, the one who channeled it all through this spirit called Abraham. And it's really interesting.
Oh, that lady was scary. I got the creeps just listening to that. It was very, very disturbing.
Oh, yeah.
Abraham. She's the one that wrote that book?
Right. Yeah. And Oprah Winfrey was promoting that. And even in the late Kim Clement's book called you may think I'm crazy, but I hear from God or something like that. In his book, he refers to God as the law of attraction. So many people have picked up that term, but it comes straight out of the occult. I found an old book by Manly P. Hall, the occult historian of, you know, that's very famous, very, very wicked person. And he also refers to God as the law of attraction. So it's an occult term. And for her to pick that up, you know, she probably never misses an episode of Oprah, you know.
I have that clip. We'll play this clip from Oprah. That'll be our last clip.
As I grew, my perception and understanding of what God means grew with me. I expanded my view of what it means to be a citizen of the universe, to be a part of the energy field that is omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, and all-present in all things. The universe speaks to us always, first, in whispers. And a whisper usually in your life feels like, that's odd. Or, that doesn't make any sense. Or, is that right? It just really feels like that. It's that kind of subtle. There's an energy field. There's an energy flow that I strongly feel in my own life. And I know lots of other people who do. You're either in flow or out of it. And if you're in flow, it's like this. It's like this. All the time. It's like this. It's like flowing with the stream. And the flow is in direct proportion to the center of yourself, where God abides, where universal energy abides, where the divine within you abides. How far you are from the center, from the divineness of yourself, from your connection to source energy, that which created you, is how out of sync you are with your life, regardless of what you call it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, and she's had the authors of The Secret on her show many times, and that's what she promotes, and that's where she got these ideas that of pantheism, and all is God, and everyone has God within them, and it has nothing to do with being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's part of you. You are divine. And, you know, and for that kind of idea to cross over into the evangelical world, where so many of the false prophets have say that we are little gods, or we have God's DNA in us and all of this.
Yeah.
You see, that's the source. So they're all tapping into the same source, and they're just, you know, using different terminology to say the same things. And they're all doctrines of demons and the schemes of the enemy, of which we're not supposed to be ignorant of, you know, the schemes of the devil, because that's what they are, colored different ways.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right, and that's why we do many of these programs, is so that you'll know to be aware of the schemes of the devil. And when people start talking like this, and they claim to be born again, and they claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not the Holy Spirit.
Mm-mm. No, it's a lying another, spirit, an unclean spirit.
Very unclean. You do... that Abraham lady that wrote that book, she gave me the creeps big time. It was so creepy. And but many of these people that are involved in the New Age movement, they're hard to listen to or hard to look at. It's just very, very creepy. You can almost feel that demonic thing rearing its ugly head. And you think to yourself, how did they get like that?
And all these talk of all these various beasts and everything, it kind of reminds me of like Chinese New Year, and it's the year of the dragon. It's the year of the ox. It's the year of the wolf. It's the year of the octopus, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's very,
you know,
very
the
true.
Devil's, you know, limited with how many things he can come up with.
Yeah, exactly. He is limited. So anyway, that's our program for today. Jackie, thanks so much. Great program again. And
my pleasure.
Tell people where they could find you and your different...
At christiansentinel.com. And, of course, if you don't know how to spell that, just look up Jackie Alnor on Google and get over to Christian Sentinel. And also you can join me on my Facebook page under my name and, of course, looking at my videos on YouTube.
Yeah. So Jackie has a Facebook page, and she posts a lot on there. It's public. So you're invited. And, of course, she has her Christian Sentinel radio network on Blog Talk Radio, and there's some great programs on there, too. So we want to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And thanks a lot, Jackie. I appreciate it very, very
My
much,
pleasure.
All your help and the clips that you helped me with today. Thanks for everything. God bless.
Thank you. God bless.
Okay. Bye. All right, everybody. That's our program for today. So don't forget now, the most important thing is maybe you're out there today and you say, well, yikes, there's so many crazy Christians out there, but there's one person that loves you and has something for you that's greater than any human being can offer you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life and forgiveness of your sins. And you can be born again and be a brand new person in Christ Jesus. Jesus said in the third chapter of John that you must be born again. First, you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory. You might say, well, I don't do, I'm a good person. Nobody's good enough in their own selves. There was only one perfect one that ever walked the earth, but God offers you forgiveness and he offers you a brand new life. So give your life to Jesus today. You'll never regret it. God bless you all. Thank you, everybody in the chat room, everybody that stopped by, Shannon and Rick and Jay Artie. Anyway, thanks. Don't forget, if you want to be a part of our chat room, just stop by. And also, you can email me, Susan@propheticnews.com. God bless.